Chapter 10, Panther Tales. When we got back to the porch, Star was waking up, and her eyes were heavy with sleep. She pushed aside the netting and outstretched her arms. "Jake!" I went over and gave her a hug. "She talks about you all the time," Mara told me, as she sat on the hammock next to Star. "Jake this and Jake that." I shrugged and rolled my eyes. "She's my shadow." "I'm not your shadow, Jake," Star said. "Twinkle, twinkle, little star," I teased. "Now I know just what you are. You're my shadow chasing me. Why won't you ever let me be?"
"Don't say that," Star whined, her mouth quivering.
"Why, Jake, you're a poet and didn't even know it." Mara winked at Star and patted her hand. "Star showed me her favorite poems today."
"That's nice," I responded. I knew all of Star's favorite poems by heart, having read them dozens of times.
"Mara writes poems," Star said. Mara smiled and looked away. "They're not very good, but I like to write them. They help me sort things out in my head."
"Read them to Jake," Star blurted. "Jake likes poems, don't you, Jake?"
Well, I only read Star's book of verses, but I'd like to hear your poems, Mara."
"Maybe sometime," she said.
After thanking her again, I took Star's hand and we headed home. Star babbled all the way. "Mara is so nice. She brushed my hair and it didn't hurt like when you do it, Jake," she said in a disapproving manner.
"Boys aren't supposed to brush girls' hair."
"Why not?"
"I don't know. They just aren't, that's all."
"Mara wrote a poem about snow. She played in the snow back home, Jake. She said snow is cold, and it's pretty and clean." Star chattered on like a squirrel. "I want to see snow someday. Why doesn't it snow here?"
"It's too hot here to snow," I told her.
"I have stones in my shoes." Star sat down on the road. I unbuckled her sandals one at a time, shook out the dirt, and put them back on her feet again.
"Come on, Star, don't bellyache all the time."
I pulled her up with a tug. After hearing Miss Edith's complaint about Jewel and Rudy, I wanted to help Sharky get a fence up right away, and that meant skipping church. Mom would give me a hard time, I was sure of that. And I was right. When I got home, Mom was in the upstairs kitchen paring potatoes.
"Don't you dare skip church," she exclaimed when I told her about my plan to work with Sharky on Sunday.
"I can't imagine that Sharky would suggest such a thing." She eyed me suspiciously.
"Or was it your idea?"
"Sharky didn't ask me to skip church, but I know he needs help." Mom had her hands on her hips, which meant she was ready for an argument, when Dad came into the living room.
"Anything the matter?"
He looked at me and then at Mom.
"Jake wants to skip church tomorrow and help Sharky."
She stared at Dad's feet and snapped.
"Take off those dirty shoes. You're soiling my genuine American Oriental rug."
Dad sighed, sat in a chair, and removed his shoes.
"Sharky's leg has been bad recently, and he needs help. You know Sharky's a good man, Lou."
"That's not the point," Mom said. "Jake should not miss church."
"Why does Sharky need you tomorrow?" Dad asked.
"Sharky needs to make a corral for Jewel and Rudy. The two of them keep getting away, and folks are getting mad. Now Miss Edith is blaming Rudy for killing Henny Penny."
Mom shook her head. "Sharky brought trouble upon himself with those animals."
"It wasn't Rudy that killed the hen. It was a panther," I said. "If Sharky can fence Rudy and Jewel in a pen, then they won't get blamed for everything."
"Sharky's already been into the store buying bags of cement for a fence," Dad said.
"Oh, let Jake go help, Lou."
Mom kept her hands on her hips.
"No," she said to Dad. "Jake needs to go to church."
"Sometimes helping your neighbor is just as important as going to church."
"Maybe even more important," Dad answered.
With a sigh, Mom threw up her hands in defeat and went back to slicing potatoes. That night, everyone except Star was quiet at the dinner table. But after a while, Dad got Mom to smile again.
No matter what the situation, Dad could always make Mom smile. I woke up Sunday morning to the deep clanging of a bell that hung in the steeple of the Methodist Church. It was a reassuring sound that echoed throughout our little town. The church, a prim white building, stood on the shore next to the town graveyard. Boats from other islands arrived on Sunday morning so people could attend services at our church, which was the only one for miles around. Mom was already up and dressed and brushing Star's long hair when I came into the kitchen. "Ow!" Star whined as Mom came upon a knot. "Mara doesn't hurt me when she brushes my hair." Mom sighed. "I'm going to cut your hair short like Bessie's. I can't go through this every day." "Will Bessie be at Sunday school?" Star asked. "Of course. The Ashburns are always there," Mom said with a meaningful look at me. "There are biscuits and sea grape jelly on the table, Jake. Help yourself, but eat in the kitchen. I don't want grape jelly on your rug," I filled in. "It's the finest thing in this house. The only valuable thing I have." Mom said in that suffering voice she used whenever she felt put upon. "And I'm still upset you are not attending Sunday services with us today." "It's just this one Sunday, Mom," I said. "Sharky needs help." As I headed up the road, I was surprised to see Mara smiling and waving to me from her porch. She was dressed for church, wearing a flowered dress that looked freshly starched and ironed. Her dark red hair was curly this morning, and a pale green headband held it back from her face. "Hi, Jake," she called eagerly as she ran up the embankment to the road. "Are you going to church today?" "Not today," I answered. Mara's smile faded. "I was hoping you'd be there. I thought we might have a picnic afterward, but I guess she'll be busy." "I'm going to help Sharky today, but I'll probably be starving by 1 o'clock or so." She grinned. "Come to my house around 1. We can have a picnic down by the water." "Okay," I agreed. At that moment, a horse-drawn cart came rumbling onto the road. No, not horse-drawn, I realized. It was mule-drawn. Jewel was harnessed to Sharky's wagon, which was loaded up with fencing. Sharky walked in front, leading Jewel with a rope tether, and trotting in front of them were Rudy and Ginger. "Looks like a circus," Mara said with a laugh. "Hey, Jake," Sharky yelled when he came closer, "since you're not dressed for church, I can use some help over at my place." "I'm coming," I called back, and turning to Mara, I explained. "Sharky's going to build a corral for Jewel and Rudy today." "Oh, good. Then Aunt Edith won't be able to blame Rudy for taking her hens. But do you really think there's a panther around these parts?" "I sure do. Panthers will come right up on the porch if they smell meat cooking in a kitchen. This had never actually happened to anybody I knew, but I'd heard the stories, and Mara listened intently to my every word. "Really?" "Yes. Just ask Miss Edith. I'm sure she knows these stories." Mara's eyes widened. "Oh, my. I wouldn't know what to do if I came across a panther." "Anyone could be in danger, especially if a cat is hungry," I warned her. "So keep on the watch." "Oh," Mara gasped, clapping her hand over her mouth. "That is scary." I was laying it on thick. I had never heard of a panther hurting anyone, but it sounded exciting. "Come on, Jake," Sharky yelled. He and his troop were way up the road and heading on to the path that led to his place. "I'm coming." Turning to Mara, I clawed the air near her face. "Grr! Watch out for panthers, Mara," I growled. Mara laughed. "Stop teasing me," she scolded. "You don't need to worry. You'll probably never see one," I called out as I left. I ran up the road to catch up with Sharky and passed through the shade from the overhanging trees. Could a panther be lurking in those dark shadows, I wondered.